Andrew.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Can I just pray for you before you
speak? Please, please. Thank you.
Father, we commit Andrew before you. We thank you for the preparation that has gone into today. We thank you, Lord, that in the preparations, he wasn't alone, but you were with him according to your word. So, Father, as he brings forth the word that you have placed upon his heart, we pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts to hear and receive this word. We pray that this word will not return to you void, but it will change us from the inside out. Have your way, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, good morning, Pip and Jims. How are you all doing on this Mothering Sunday? I've just got a few questions before I get into the sermon. My first question is, what did the baby corn say to the mama corn? Any idea? Where's popcorn? And why is a computer so smart? Because it listens to its motherboard. And what do you call a mum who can't draw? A Tracy. I'm really sorry if those jokes are really bad, but there you go. Well, she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Today is Mothering Sunday, a day when we stop and give thanks to God for our mothers, mother figures, foster mothers and carers. It's a day full of mixed emotions for many, for those whose mothers are no longer here, for those who had a difficult relationship with their mothers, for those who have never known their birth mothers and have either been adopted or brought up in foster care. The tradition of marking Mothering Sunday started when people worked away from home or in service, like in country houses like Downton Abbey. And on one Sunday in the year, they were given the day off and would return to their home and so-called Mother Church for worship. Today, Mothering Sunday is celebrated in our country as a time when mums or ladies should get the day off and the men and the boys take over all the chores for the day. So I suppose that means I should be cooking lunch today with my boys. Are you ready, Joseph and Logan? In our Bible reading this morning, we meet one of the true giants of faith in the Bible, a lady called Hannah. Hannah lived at an interesting time in the history of Israel. The time when Israel transitioned from being led by judges to being led by kings. Hannah was married to a man called Elkanah, who we hear is a good man. Elkanah also had another wife called Peninnah. Now we might ask the question, does God allow men in the Old Testament to have two or more wives? Well, the answer is no. He does not, because we clearly see this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where he says, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. But in ancient time, having children was so important, both economically for the family, as the children would grow up and join the family business and help out, but also in later years, children would care for their parents in old age. Having children was a sign of God's blessing. So if your wife was unable to have children, men would take another wife. And we see this with a number of leaders in the Old Testament, like Jacob, David, and Solomon. At the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, we hear that as much as Elkanah loved Hannah, she was unable to have children, and that his other wife, Peninnah, was able to have children. And in fact, Peninnah would tease Hannah about her infertility. Elkanah is faithful in leading his family to take part in all the religious festivals during the year at Shiloh, which was about 15 to 20 miles from where they lived. Shiloh was the focal point of Israel's worship, and it was where the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant resided. But Hannah lived with this inability to bear her husband any children. Year after year, with constant teasing from Peninnah, she would join the family and offer worship and sacrifices to the Lord. On one of these occasions, when all the festivities had ended, Hannah gets up to have a talk with God. And while she does this, the priest Eli is watching her. We hear that Hannah is in deep anguish, weeping and praying to the Lord. And she makes this vow. She says, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." Wow! What a vow to make to God, that if she bears a son, she is going to give him back to the Lord for his whole life. We hear that Eli sees Hannah praying. In fact, her prayer is so intense that Eli thinks that she's drunk. I wonder if she was being filled with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, Hannah tells Eli her problem, and Eli blesses her. We then hear that Hannah incredibly becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son. And she names him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." After Samuel was born, we hear that it's time for the family to go to Shiloh to offer worship and sacrifices. But Hannah stays home, and she will wait until the boy is weaned before she will offer him to the Lord. And in these times, weaning could last up to 3 years. The time comes, and Hannah takes Samuel with her sacrificial offerings and goes to Shiloh to see Eli. And she reminds Eli who she is, because, you know, he's probably only met her once or twice, and it was a few years since he last saw her. So she says to Eli, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." As Hannah hands over her one and only son, in chapter 2, the story continues, and we have the most beautiful prayer from Hannah, which starts with these verses. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." As we look at this text on this Mother's Day, we might say, what can we learn from the mother Hannah? And I feel there are three things we can learn and be inspired from this account. They are faith, sacrifice, and thanksgiving. Firstly, I would like to talk about faith. Infertility is one of the most painful, arduous, and bewildering experiences for married couples. The hoping for and longing for children is part of what makes us human. It is put there by God because God is a creator who likes to see humanity grow and multiply. We hear in our account today that Hannah is barren. She's unable to have children. In ancient times, there was a stigma if you were unable to have children. In fact, the husband could in fact divorce his wife if she was unable to produce an heir. But Hannah's husband, Elkanah, is a God-fearing, good, loving husband. But then there is the mean second wife, Peninnah. who over the years taunts Hannah and teases her until Hannah weeps and stops eating. How cruel is that? We all have times in our lives when things don't seem to go the way we hope for. That could be in meeting the right husband or wife. It could be having children. It could be the career that we dream about. It could be the kind of home we would like to have. It could be our health and general well-being, the ending of lockdown, or a ministry we feel God is calling us to and the opportunity has not arrived. In her disappointment and pain, Hannah never gives up on God. She never stops offering sacrifices and worship to God with her family. She keeps her faith. But something happens to Hannah during one of those visits to Shiloh. We hear that after all the festivities, she stands up, catches the eye of Eli, the priest, and in her deep anguish, she cries out to the Lord and she makes this incredible vow that if God will bless her with a son, she will give him back to the Lord. Eli witnesses Hannah's prayer and he prays and blesses her as she goes home. And then we hear that Hannah becomes pregnant. A number of years ago, Catherine and I were experiencing infertility challenges. And someone said to us, why don't you go and get some prayer from Mark and Lindsay Mellowish, as they have a great record of answered prayer and ministry to couples suffering from infertility. So we went down to see Mark and Lindsay, and they listened and they prayed for us and gave us lots of advice. In fact, Mark said to me, Andrew, do you lay hands on Catherine's tummy every night and pray for a baby? Well, rather sheepishly, I said, I did not. But from that moment, I did not stop laying hands on Catherine. And with the help of incredible medical wonders, Catherine became pregnant. We might have to wait years and years in prayer, but somehow God seems to break through. And we see this in the incredible faith of Hannah. But now let's move to point number two, sacrifice. Next, we hear Hannah has become pregnant and she gives birth to a baby boy. And she names him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. So here is Hannah after all these years of prayer and anguish, and she and Elkanah have a baby boy called Samuel. Hannah knows that she has made a vow, and that vow was that she would give back her son to the Lord. Over the past year, Catherine and I have been watching a really great drama called This Is Us, and you can catch it on Amazon Prime. The drama is about the Pearson family, and it is constantly switching over the decades, explaining how the family formed and developed over the years. Well, in a recent episode, Kate, who is married to Toby, are going to adopt a baby straight after it is born. Not only that, but they have got to know the birth mother. And Kate is with the birth mother when the baby is born. But then there is a heart-wrenching moment in the episode when the birth mother wants a few minutes with the baby before she passes it on to Kate and Toby for adoption. We can only imagine the heartache that Hannah has to go through, knowing she will one day have to take Samuel to Shiloh and give her one and only son back to the Lord. We hear that Hannah will only go to Shiloh once the baby's been weaned. So Hannah has about 3 years in which to bond with her son Samuel. And then the day comes and it's time for the family to go to Shiloh with a bull, some flour and wine. Hannah and Elkanah bring Samuel to Eli the priest, and Hannah reminds Eli who she is and about the incredible answer to prayer. Hannah says to Eli, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. Because of the vow that Hannah made to God, she now gives back to God the child she so desperately wanted and cried out to God to receive. It seems that Hannah's gratitude to God was greater than her desperation to be a mother. Let me say that again. It seems that Hannah's gratitude to God was greater than her desperation to be a mother. How many of us, when waiting with desperation for an answer to prayer, once we have that answer, give back to God what he's given to us? This kind of gratitude and sacrifice can only be forged in worship, prayer, and faith in God. This is the character of Hannah, and that is why she is such a hero of the Bible. Which takes us to point number three, thanksgiving. How does Hannah react after she has given over her son to Eli? Many of us would be devastated, downhearted, sad, maybe depressed. Hannah's reaction is prayer and thanksgiving. And in chapter 2, verse 10, we are blessed with these amazing words as Hannah prays. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Hannah says, her heart rejoices in the Lord. She delights in God's deliverance, and there is no rock like her God. We might ask the question, how could Hannah pray like this? I think it is because her life was completely orientated and surrendered to God. Hannah was not some superhero with unattainable power of faith. She is just like you and me. Hannah chose to be honest and open to God about her pain and disappointment. Hannah did not give in. And thankfully, she has a loving husband. Hannah was hungry for God's presence. She was thirsty. She had faith, love, trust, and dedication to God. What became of Hannah after this? Well, Hannah was able to see her son probably 2 to 3 times a year as the family offered sacrifices and worship to God. Later on, we read Hannah made clothes for her son as he grows up. And Samuel grows up to be one of the greatest judges, priests, and prophets of Israel. And he anoints 2 of their future kings. Also later on, as you read about Hannah, you find out she becomes pregnant again. And she and Elkanah end up with 3 sons and 2 daughters. On this Mothering Sunday, the account of Hannah and the birth of Samuel that we have looked at today are an incredible example of faith, sacrifice, and thanksgiving. But for us as followers of Jesus, how can we have the kind of faith, trust, and gratitude that Hannah had? We cannot get this in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God's empowering presence in our lives. So let us pray and ask God to fill us now. May I invite you to close your eyes and maybe put your hands out to receive from God right now. Let's close our eyes and offer ourselves to God. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Father God, on this Mothering Sunday, we've had this incredible example of Hannah given to us this morning. This incredible lady of faith and trust in you. And today, we offer, we hand over to you the challenges that we face in our lives today, this week, or those coming up in the coming months. But Lord, we cannot journey. We cannot have victory in our own strength. We need your Holy Spirit. So Lord, send your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us right now, so that we can bear the burdens that we carry this day. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.